Well, hello everybody, and welcome to the latest in our online series on Revelation. Online. Aha, I hope you're as excited as we are at the prospect of being back together again in church, in the flesh, in the spirit and in the flesh all together. If you're in a cell group, can you please let your cell group leader know in the next week or so which service you'd like to be in? There's the 9:30 one and there's the 11:15 one. It's all on the Facebook page and the website. We're hoping to have everything in place soon, so watch out for further announcements as we move towards us getting all back together. But for now, we're online, we're in Revelation, and we're on chapter 17. We've got past all the plagues, all the trumpets and the bowls, and we're moving towards the latter stages of the book, when the Bride of Christ will be revealed in her glory and the New Jerusalem comes to earth. But we're not quite there yet. So let's have a look at what 17 has to offer. But first, let's pray. Father God, I just want to thank you so much for your word. Thank you for all that it is. Thank you for the impact it has on us. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you that you've chosen us to be a part of your perfect bride, to be part of the body of Christ. And I just pray that through your word, you will really speak into our hearts today and bless us with your truth in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, chapters 17 and 18 are both about the great prostitute Babylon, the whore of Babylon, as she was called in some earlier translations, and about God's judgment upon her. So the two chapters very much go together. We're going to deal with them one at a time. So 17 this week, 18 next week. So I hope you've got your Bibles. I hope you're open at the page. And here we go. Revelation chapter 17. One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and said to me, "Come, I will show you the punishment of the great prostitute who sits on many waters. With her, the kings of the earth committed adultery, and the inhabitants of the earth were intoxicated with the wine of her adulteries." Then the angel carried me away in the spirit into a desert. And there I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast that was covered with blasphemous names and had seven heads and 10 horns. The woman was dressed in purple and scarlet and was glittering with gold, precious stones and pearls. She held a golden cup in her hand, filled with abominable things and the filth of her adulteries. This title was written on her forehead, a mystery: Babylon the Great, the mother of prostitutes and of the abominations of the earth. I saw that the woman was drunk with the blood of the saints, the blood of those who bore testimony to Jesus. When I saw her, I was greatly astonished. Then the angel said to me, "Why are you astonished? I will explain to you the mystery of the woman and of the beast she rides, which has the seven heads and the 10 horns. The beast which you saw once was, now is not, and will come up out of the abyss and go to his destruction. The inhabitants of the earth, whose names have not been written in the book of life from the creation of the world, will be astonished when they see the beast, because he once was, and now is not, and yet will come. This calls for a mind with wisdom. The seven heads are seven hills on which the woman sits. They are also seven kings. 5 have fallen, 1 is, the other has not yet come, but when he does come, he must remain for a little while. The beast, who once was and now is not, is an 8th king. He belongs to the 7 and is going to his destruction. The 10 horns you saw are 10 kings who have not yet received a kingdom, but who for 1 hour will receive authority as kings along with the beast. They have one purpose and will give their power and authority to the beast. They will make war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will overcome them because he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and with him will be his called, chosen, and faithful followers. Then the angel said to me, the waters you saw, where the prostitute sits, are peoples, multitudes, nations, and languages. The beast and the 10 horns you saw will hate the prostitute. They will bring her to ruin and leave her naked. They will eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God has put it into their hearts to accomplish his purpose by agreeing to give the beast their power to rule until God's words are fulfilled. The woman you saw is the great city that rules over the kings of the earth. The word of God. My goodness. Now, we saw Babylon's fall prophesied back in chapter 14 by one of the angels. And again, in the last chapter, towards the end of 16, the fall of Babylon was spoken of by one of the angels with the bowls. And it's one of these angels now, isn't it, that's speaking to John here. The prostitute has great power and influence. Notice, look, in verse 2, the kings of the earth have committed adultery with her. And the earth dwellers in Revelation, by the way, are not the saints. The earth dwellers are the people who have not been saved. And John makes that clear later on, doesn't he, in verse 8. But these earth dwellers, they've become drunk with her wine, which is a way of saying they've become so heavily involved in her immorality that they've lost all sense of who they are or what they're doing. They're intoxicated with the wine of her adulteries. That word that's translated as adultery throughout scripture in Greek is the word porneia. She is a porne. They commit porneia with her. And I've mentioned this word before. It's the word, obviously, we get pornography from. The purpose of the prostitute is to entice people away from God, first by looking and then by getting involved in sexual immorality. Porn. More of this later on. I'll say a bit more about this later. For now, let's look at verse 3. The angel carried me away in the spirit into a desert. He's carried in the spirit into a desert. If you remember, he was in the spirit on the Isle of Patmos at the beginning of the book in chapter 1. Ever since the start of chapter 4, he's been in the spirit in heaven. And everything he sees from chapter 4 right through to this point has been in heaven, from the perspective of heaven. But now he's taken into a desert. And just as Israel went out into the desert following the plagues of Egypt in Exodus, so John, now after the 7 plagues of chapter 16, he goes into the desert. This is his third vision in the book of Revelation. And what he sees is astonishing. I'll come back to the beast later, but for now, let's focus, as John himself does, doesn't he, on the prostitute herself. The first thing we notice in the description of her in verse 4 is wealth. She's dressed in purple and scarlet, the richest fabrics, like royalty. She's glittering with gold and precious stones and pearls, Gucci and bling, this woman. Now, there's 2 things I want to say about this description. The first one is, she's attractive. The great prostitute looks attractive. She's had lots and lots and lots of people sleeping with her precisely because she looks good. As the old saying goes, temptation wouldn't be temptation if it wasn't tempting. Men want to go after her. Beware, men, if you're listening, any men listening to this, beware. Don't be lured into pornography or immorality, lest you share the same fate she gets. In the book of Job, we read that Job made a covenant with his eyes not to look lustfully at women. And we should follow his example, guys. We'll see in chapter 18 next week, God's people are urged to flee far away from her. And you'd be well advised to do the same. I'm sure many of you will remember North. Do you remember North? August bank holiday weekends spent in a windswept, muddy field with other New Frontiers churches. Do you remember? It was always freezing. Well, Jules and I were on the prayer team there. And I vividly remember one year on the Saturday night meeting, and there'd been a call for people to come out for prayer, and loads of people came out. That night, every single man that I prayed with had come out for prayer because he was struggling with addiction to pornography. Every one of them. It's insidious. It's evil. And it will trap you forever. Like a drug addict. And it's in the church. In the church. But we know that Jesus can break you free in a moment if you repent, if you turn to God. Men, if this is you, anybody listening that this might apply to, turn to Jesus, confess your sin, repent, invite him in, and he can set you free just like that. All right, the second thing about this description of her is wealth. There's lots of money there, isn't there? See, not just sex, money too. And there's masses of money to be made in pornography and prostitution and sex trafficking and all that sort of stuff. Those people behind it are extremely wicked and evil people who are going to end up in the lake of fire. And the Bible is very clear that those people who are foolish, who are daft enough to be drawn into following the wicked, who trot along like sheep, they will share exactly the same judgment. You see, in verse 4 or 5, even the cup that she drinks from is gold. But take a look inside it. Oh, it's filled with abominable things and the filth of her adulteries. Oh, yuck. Who wants to drink that? But plenty have. Plenty have. And plenty have got drunk on it too. And this is one of the important things about the prostitute. She may look attractive, like the golden cup, but you only have to scratch the surface to see that really she's foul and she's disgusting. We've seen in previous chapters, haven't we? Way back in chapter 13, the beast's followers had his mark on their foreheads, didn't they? And before that, in 12, God's people had his seal on their foreheads. Back in the Old Testament, the high priest had the name of the Lord on a plaque on his forehead. But she's got her own name on her forehead. Babylon the Great, the mother of prostitutes and of the abominations of the earth. See, she's a woman and she's also a city, Babylon. Those of you who know your Bible will know Babylon has a rich biblical history. The Babylonians attacked Jerusalem. They were the ones who destroyed the temple. They took the Jews into exile and captivity. But way, way back, The story of Babylon in the Bible begins in Genesis 11 with the Tower of Babel. Mankind trying to outdo God by building themselves a tower reaching to heaven to make a name for themselves. And here, she doesn't have the Lord's name. She doesn't even have the names of false gods. She's got her own name on her forehead. Like so many people today in the liberal West, she worships herself. I am the great one. Babylon the great. Who needs God? There's quite a bit of debate among scholars about which city Babylon represents in the book of Revelation. The majority think that she represents Rome, because obviously that was the major city of the day. Personally, I don't think so. I go with the minority who believe it's Jerusalem she represents. And there's lots of evidence as to why I think that, and there's lots to debate. And I'd be happy to discuss it with people on another occasion. but not right now. I'm hoping once church opens up again, we can have another of our Bible study evenings on Revelation, and maybe we can talk about it then. But for now, what matters is what she represents now. That Greek word, porneia, that I talked about, which covers all kinds of sexual immorality and perversion, it also has a second meaning of idolatry. Briefly, in the Old Testament, God considered himself married to Israel by a covenant. And when they went off and worshipped other gods, in God's eyes, that constituted adultery. So the two ideas are closely linked. Porneia, sexual immorality or adultery, and idolatry. Adultery, idolatry, they even sound similar. So Babylon stands for both sexual immorality and also world systems, institutions, false religions that set themselves up against God and against his people. They worship the beast. Whether they realise that's what they're doing or not, they worship the beast. See, she takes the worst of our human nature, pride, lust, envy, greed, and she feeds it and offers us more of the same. It's all a perversion of God's intended plans. See, God designed sex as a beautiful aspect of covenant relationship in marriage. It's a joining of bodies and of hearts, giving yourself to your other half. It's beautiful. But she takes that and she distorts it and perverts and twists it so it just becomes a commercial transaction. There's no commitment. There's no relationship, there's no real intimacy, there's no giving, just taking. It's empty. And she does the same with everything she touches. Money, it's the same. There's nothing wrong with money. It's the love of money that's the root of evil. She takes it, perverts it, distorts it, twists it. And if you let her, she'll take you and distort and twist you. But the book of Revelation obviously is not about sex, but it is about worship. Worshipping God, not worshipping the beast in any way. And worshipping God, a bit like a marriage, it's a covenant, it's a whole of life thing. We're continually getting to know him better and exploring him and loving him and being loved by him. It's like marriage. But how many Christian websites have you seen that offer you healing or prophetic gifting, or godly wisdom for money? Just send $20 to this number and you can have. The worst aspect of the great prostitute is idolatry. Idolatry is anything that we put before God. Any idols that are more important to us than the Lord God Almighty is. Self, money, sex, easy fulfillment of all your desires. In the end, all of it comes down to worshipping the beast. Beware, people, beware. Verse 6, she's drunk, this woman. She's drunk, but what's she drunk with? She's drunk with the blood of the murdered saints. Martyr's blood. Ugh. You see, if seduction doesn't work, if the enemy can't lure you and seduce you and tempt you away from following God, she'll persecute you instead. And we saw that, didn't we, in the letters to the churches, if you remember, back in chapters 2 and 3. Some churches were being persecuted. And the warning was, you know, stay faithful to Jesus, even if they threaten to kill you. But other churches were in danger of being seduced away from godly behaviour into following the ways of the world. And one of the chief purposes, one of John's chief purposes in this book, is to exhort the church not to compromise with Babylon, but to stand apart as witnesses of God's righteousness. That's who we are. We are Jesus's witnesses. Okay, let's turn our attention to the beast now that she's sitting on. Enough of her. We've come across quite a few beasts, haven't we, as we've been going through Revelation. All of them very strange, and every single one of them has been demonic, directly opposed to God and to the Lamb. And this one's no exception. We see in verse 3, back in verse 3, the woman is sitting on a scarlet beast. Scarlet is the same colour as the dragon in chapter 12 that was called Satan. And we see also he's covered in blasphemous names. I'll come back to the horns and heads later. Verse 8. The beast which you saw once was, now is not, and will come up out of the abyss and go to his destruction. See, he once was, he is not, and he will come again. It's repeated later in verse 8. This is a complete demonic parody of the Lord God, of Jesus, who was and is to come. Dave's spoken in the past, hasn't he, about the unholy trinity that the dragon and the beasts make. And this is very similar. They pretend to look like God, perhaps in an attempt to fool people into believing in them. Perhaps because they actually think they are as powerful as God, which, of course, they are not. But when we get to chapter 21, we see the Bride of Christ, the New Jerusalem, who is also, by the way, both a woman and a city. You'll see several aspects of the description of the prostitute here are very similar. They're all demonic, warped counterfeits. The dragon, the beast, the whore, they're all demonic counterfeits of godly truth, trying to look like God. But actually, not even close. And this is one of the reasons that we need godly wisdom. Verse 9, this calls for a mind with wisdom. Now, the next few verses, 9, 10, 11, the angel explains a lot about the beast to John, doesn't he? The beast has seven heads and 10 horns, and the heads are seven hills on which the woman sits. That certainly looks like a reference to Rome, doesn't it? Because Rome was built on seven hills. And I do think the beast represents Rome, even though I don't think the prostitute does. But they're also seven kings, aren't they? Or maybe kingdoms, or maybe Roman emperors. There have been pages and pages and pages and pages written about this. Debate, speculation, as to who does this refer to, which king is which, are they Roman emperors? If they are Roman emperors, which one's which? Five have fallen and one hasn't yet come, and who are they and who's this eighth one? I do actually think it refers to actual kings, or maybe to kingdoms, like the beasts in Daniel 7 did, because this is all an echo of Daniel 7. But I'm not going to spend your time on it now, to be honest, because at our very best, it's just educated guesswork. And what really matters to us today, the big picture, is that the beast is about kingship. Earthly kingdoms that are against God and his people. Rome, in John's day, clearly, and plenty of other candidates since. Political power that rules for its own ends and which refuses to bow the knee to our Lord and Saviour Jesus. Consciously or otherwise, they serve the beast. None of them are eternal, although many of them try to be, don't they? Roman Empire lasted several hundred years. In our day now, both Putin in Russia and Xi Jinping in China have made moves to rule over their nations for the rest of their lives. But only God is eternal. And only the Lord has the real power and authority, which we see very clearly in verse 14. They make war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will overcome them because he is Lord of lords and King of kings. Hallelujah! And with him will be his called, chosen and faithful followers. That's us. See, I've said before, one of the big messages of the book of Revelation is not so much that Jesus wins the victory, It's that we are included. We win the victory. It's wonderful. Wonderful. And we'll read more about that victory in the next few chapters. My favourite commentator on Revelation is a man called Peter Leithart. And he says this of this verse, of how God is victorious over his enemies. He says this: no enemy of God is upwardly mobile. They may rise for a moment, but then it is down, 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 down. I love that. That's it. It may appear that God's enemies are on the up. They may look good for a while. They may look victorious for a brief time, but they are going down forever. Verse 15. The angel said to me, "The waters you saw where the prostitute sits are peoples, multitudes, nations and languages." See, the whole world is tainted with porn. The whole world is under the influence of the prostitute and the beast. But as we see in the next few chapters, in the end, they all turn against her. Her own people turn against her and they hate her. They strip her naked. They eat her flesh. They burn her with fire. And all of this in verse 17 is to accomplish God's purpose. They don't know it, but they are always doing what God has planned. This is a grim image, isn't it? It's grim. They bring her to ruin. They leave her naked. They eat her flesh. They burn her with fire. It's almost like a human sacrifice. Or even some sort of weird demonic parody of the wedding feast of the Lamb. Her own followers turn on her and destroy her. Those who have drunk the blood of the saintly martyrs are condemned by their own acts. And like their master Satan, they lose everything just at the moment they thought they were going to win. And so, verse 18, the woman you saw is the great city that rules over the kings of the earth. All the kings of the earth, all the nations are under her spell. Unless they come out by the blood of the Lamb. Unless they repent and turn from their wickedness and are saved. Hallelujah. And included in the Lamb's Book of Life. There's a lot more we could say about this chapter. To be honest, there's tons. There is a whole host of Old Testament allusions in here that I've hardly mentioned. I mentioned Daniel, but there's massive allusions to Proverbs, to Ezekiel particularly, to 2 Kings, to Zechariah. Oh, there's loads that we could go into. Could spend ages on it, but I'm not going to. Don't worry. What I am going to do is just simply, let's just go over what we've seen. We've got this great prostitute, horrible, who represents idolatrous religion and sexual immorality all mingled in together with some greed for wealth thrown into the mix. She makes herself appear attractive in order to seduce many throughout the whole world. And she rides on the back of demonic political power to further that evil kingdom. They are building their own kingdom. Sex, money, power, influence. It's a heady mixture, people. And it's drawn many, both men and women, to their ultimate destruction. Short-term game. An eternal damnation. Like Jesus, she offers us a cup of blood, but unlike our Lord's cup, her cup leads to death. Let's make sure. Excuse me. Please make sure there is no trace of her influence or that of the beast in our lives. Let's continue in the everlasting goodness that is our eternal life with God. We've been pulled out of the kingdom of darkness. Hallelujah. And into the kingdom of the Son that he loves. Let us live lives worthy of the Son of God. And we'll just end in a prayer. Father God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for its clarity. Lord, if there is any trace in me or in any of those listening, there's any trace of the beast or of the prostitute and of their influence in our lives, I pray this week, Lord, you will make it clear to us, show us and help us to get rid of it, because you have pulled us out of darkness. Thank you that we are your chosen people, your royal priesthood, a holy nation belonging to God. And our heart's desire, Lord God, is that we will live as a royal priesthood and holy nation before you. Praise your name. Amen. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for listening, for bearing with me through all of that. Next week, we'll have chapter 18 and the complete and absolute destruction of Babylon. And then we can move forward from there. God bless you all. Have a good week. And that's it from me.